There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Dustin.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino here on a Tuesday morning, loaded for the next 3 hours in 45 minutes. Jeff Davis is going to join us, Circa Sportsbook Assistant Manager in charge of all the golf odds here, as the Masters will be teeing off in about 48 hours, and they offer great odds here at Circa. And he'll take us through leading up to the event. Nigel Seeley in an hour on soccer. Bob Herrig with a new book out on Tiger and Phil in 90 minutes, and Chris Mad Dog Russo in 2 hours. The legendary sports radio host, MLB Network host, with his favorite baseball win totals of the season. And we ended the college basketball season, what a week again this is, with a dramatic, there's a difference here, a dramatic game in college basketball where the point spread was definitely hairy in the final moments. Wasn't a good game, but it was a dramatic game. And for those of you who had Kansas futures and you decided to go with North Carolina to try to hedge, well, you won everything last night then. Great job if that's what you did.
Yep. Humans nailed it. He had that future on Kansas and then came back 25% taking the points. And that was also wild with in-play opportunities. Well, I mean, that was, it's 7-0. You think Kansas, oh boy, this could get out of control. And then someone put $90,000 on Kansas money line in play at one location right away.
Right.
Carolina, and then, it looks like they're going to run them out. Then they score 14 points in the final 15 minutes of the first half.
They were atrocious.
Yes. Oh, the shot selection, what they were doing. Right. And then Carolina has the big lead, and then the historic comeback by Kansas and everything going their way in the second half. And then you think Kansas is going to cover.
Hit them right out of the gates. Yeah, absolutely.
That was in play.
And so, like, if the kid doesn't, and there's so much to talk about here in the final moments of the game last night specifically, but if he doesn't touch the sideline with his foot, right? Carolina's going to foul him, go to the free throw line. If he makes both, they're up five at that point. And then we'll see how it plays out. But it could be, obviously, you know, 74-69 at that point. And does North Carolina come down and hit a three in the final moments with the drive to the basket to get a quick two? Super dramatic with the way that that played out. And I got to tell you, the in-play number, though, at halftime, not big enough for me to make a bet on Kansas.
Money line? Well, how big?
The highest I saw was plus 340.
Wow.
I was hoping for at least 5-1 or 6-1. Down by 15 at halftime, and it was plus 340?
And the record was 10?
Yeah.
Biggest deficit to come back? Sure.
That was too small of a number, so I did not jump on board there. But
I agree. I thought Clark Kellogg nailed it at halftime, that Carolina just bullied them in the first half.
Yep.
18-2 second chance points. Free throws were 16-4. And a 15-point lead, and Kansas shot 30%. But then they came out and blitzed them right away in the second half, and then a little bit of the press and some mistakes there. And going up tempo and finally knocking down some shots got them right back into that game.
Well, again, so Kansas looked phenomenal against Villanova. Only 58 possessions in that game, but they hit everything, and they scored 81 points. Last night, that game was played in the 70s for possessions, and they only scored 72. And they couldn't hit anything. And that's what I mean. So I would also say that, like, Self did not really make any adjustments in the first half. Like, he never isolated Abaji. He never got in the ball after he got off to the hot start. It's like he's the best player on the team, and UNC was doing a good job defending him. And then it came out in the second half that they were hitting their shots around the rim. And they could not hit any open threes to begin the game last night either, other than Abaji. And against Villanova, they hit everything from 25 feet. And then the second half, it was a combination of all the guys hitting from downtown or hitting from around the rim. And McCormick was also, you know, special last night. Now, the most outstanding player is supposed to be a Final Four award, from what I understand, not for the whole tournament. If that's the case, how do you give Abaji the award?
Yep.
How do you not give it to McCormick or maybe even somebody else?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
The kid couldn't hit his free throws last night.
Yep. Several people thought Manek was concussed as well, if you agreed with that. But this was...
God, how many shots did he take to the noggin?
I thought Love was taking too many shots.
Oh, my God,
come on,
dude. Again.
You're forcing it. I mean, there were some horrific possessions there in the second half by Carolina. Remember the one they got like three offensive rebounds?
Of course.
Shoot it again. A quick shot again.
Yep.
I'll take another contested jumper. Mm-hmm. I'll take another. Work it around and get a good look.
But that's what we kind of kicked around last week. And then kind of with Caleb Love yesterday, is he more likely to shoot North Carolina to a championship? And he got him there. I mean, he was awesome against Duke, was great against UCLA. Or is he more likely to actually lose a game? And that's what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he just... Now, that play that they ran out of the timeout was actually a thing of beauty from Hubert Davis. But it's going to get lost because Manek tripped. And so he was stumbling all the way over to the corner. They set a back screen for him. He was going to be wide open. And the Carolina out-of-bounds passer was going to go over the top. And Manek was going to have a wide open look from the corner three. And he could bury
that
if he's wide open, and he was going to be. And he just happened to trip, and he's stumbling all the way to the corner.
I don't understand these people, again, who have big tickets and don't hedge it. I don't get college coaches who don't go 2-for-1 and don't foul there.
I mean, it was just...
Come on. If you're up three late, you have to foul, especially with how these kids shoot free throws.
It was an automatic call last night if you're Bill Self.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, and by the way, they never even mentioned it on the broadcast. In a five-minute timeout, they kicked around every... Well, what do you do? Do you go for the quick two? How are you going to handle this? And then what if you're Kansas with the lead here? They never actually said you need to foul and put the guy at the free throw line.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Hello, friends. Bad moment there. I know. Bad job. All the way around. And that's a dream scenario if you hedge, too. All these people that had these big tickets on Kansas. Or even, I mean, Carolina. I mean, how big were those tickets?
Yep.
I mean, Bet Rivers did a great job tweeting out the prices, what they were on the futures, going back when the tournament's on Selection Sunday, then when the brackets came out, then after they beat Baylor. That's a dream situation. Mm-hmm. Just lay the $1.80, and then that's it. There it is. 80-1 March 12th, 100-1 Selection Sunday. After the second round, 20-1, Sweet 16, on and on and on. And a great story, considering where they were after they lost to Pittsburgh. Kansas out-rebounded by 20. Offensive rebounds, 24-8. More free throws, free throw trips, 10 more. Carolina somehow won the game.
Yep.
How was Carolina in it, though? Baycott, 3 of 13. Davis, 5 of 17. Love, 5 of 24. That had everything.
Yeah, it's because of the final 10 minutes of the first half. That game is tied at 22 apiece with 6 minutes to go before halftime. And Kansas scored 3 points the rest of the way. And it was just, it was a total mismatch. And then again, Kansas, to get to where they were last night, they beat a 16, a 9, a 4, a 10, a 2, and an 8. The combined seeds, I think, was what, 49?
Right, that's the third highest since seeding began in 1979. UNLV faced a seed sum of 54 in 1990. They played Ball State in the Sweet 16, who was a 12, and that was the Hank Gathers, Bo Kimble team. Gathers passed away.
Right.
That was the 11 seed Loyola Marymount they played after that to go to the Final Four. And then Louisville faced a sum of 51 in 2013.
Okay. Here's what happened, by the way, in the Kansas final minute. They never attacked when Baycott got injured because of the old floor. Say what you want. Is it a flexible floor or that? If you didn't see the video yet, you can, in slow motion, he like takes a step with his right foot and the board moves on the court. And so that's why he fell down and hurt himself. Kansas sat there like, I feel sorry for him right now. We can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Referee was right on the broadcast, actually. He said, you need to attack there. They did. Take advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks the kid got hurt, but you got to go score. I don't want to melt clock. Take advantage of 5-on-4. They threw the ball to the kid. He stepped out of bounds, out of the timeout, which is just, is that on the coaching?
Or, yeah, that cannot happen.
There's no way that can happen.
The game's over. The only way you lose there is a silly turnover. Mm-hmm. The game's over. You're
sure
over the line.
Yeah, and then they elected not to foul. Now, I actually did think that the message Bill Self delivered to his players at halftime was quite impressive, and he told Jim Nance about it after the game.
Coach, everybody wants to know, what did you say to this team at halftime when you were down 15?
I really didn't say much. We were disappointed in how we played the first half. Carolina was obviously the much better team, but this team has been down before. And I told them at halftime, would you rather be down 15 with 20 left or down 9 with 2 left? Because that was obviously what happened in 2008. And they all said, let's take 15. So we played off of that.
Good.
It's a good message.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it done again, but it was, man.
Yep.
The Memphis, how he beats Memphis, and then the historic comeback last night.
Here you go. The Twitter poll is up right now, and this goes for basically anybody, but specifically if you had Kansas futures last night, the poll is up on Twitter, at VSIN Live. We want to know, even though they won, did Kansas make a mistake not following up 3 points at the end of the game? Your options, yes, they got lucky. No, it was the right call. If you say it's the right call, you're basing that on the results and what happened. In fact, if I'm an AD or if I'm a president of a university and I have to interview a basketball coach, one of my very first questions is, what do you do when you're up by 3 late moments like this? What do you do as the head coach? And if they think about it, they hesitate, that they say, well, I need to know more. If they don't say foul without hesitation, I don't want you as my head coach. I don't want you.
Yeah.
Move along. We're going to interview the next person.
Move along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he concerned about maybe a foul there? Or
they had.
I don't care.
Carolina is. They're dribbling.
Yeah.
You can foul the guy, go out there and touch him, and they're going to go to the free throw line.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't get it. First field goal of the game, 3-pointer cashed again, plus 235.
Yep.
All three games. Largest lead prop goes over. That comes in too. With some of the
props. The first half, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there were 5 double doubles, but no one got the, what was it, the 23 over 22.5 points. That mm-hmm. didn't happen either.
So Self gets number 2 now. And as one of my friends here in town put it last night, who's a lifelong diehard Jayhawk, now we're going to get the death penalty. But he also said it was worth it.
Sanctions coming. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You fair trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he told me. The first hour of All the Money is brought to you exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. Up next, we'll recap all the betting action from last night with Win Some, Lose Some. And what a start for bettors in Ontario. Details on that next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callsheet.com/followthemoney, spelled KALSHI, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callsheet.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the Money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Opening day and the opening round of the Masters are the same day. So the first week of April here will be jam-packed with betting intel from our experts. We're going to have a breakdown of every golfer in the field, plus features and future bets and matchups from long shots, Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Heumann. Sign up today and get full access to VSiN through the start of the baseball season, the Masters, and the NFL Draft for only $19 at vsin.com/draft. Okay, so shopping for some Major League Baseball win totals over the weekend, I was pleasantly surprised after the Oakland A's traded yet another one of their key parts, Sean Manaea, to the San Diego Padres. So the dumpster fire of a season is in full effect right now, and they've gotten rid of almost all of their best players. Bob Melvin is no longer the manager. Mark Kotze is the manager for the A's. So I happen to find under 70.5 minus 135. That's the best I could do. Other books had 68, 60.5, maybe even a 69 out there. And I fired away on that. And I was told yesterday from somebody who I was talking to about this bet, they found under 70.5 minus 120 out there and available. Nothing is a lock. Obviously, that word should never, ever be thrown around. And this is a, you know,
sad.
This is a team that overachieves almost every single year, but they got to prove it to me.
Yep.
Mike Palm said earlier this week, I believe it was on his show, the win total should be 58, not 68. They're that bad. Like, their lineup and
the payroll, or lack thereof.
Oh, the payroll.
You can't have guys, you can't have players making more than an entire team. It's like, okay, we're moving to Vegas. So this is... we're going to get rid of everybody. And not try.
Here's the tweet from John Heyman.
Oh, this is bad.
I mean, this puts it in perspective. So okay, look, you want to bring this one here first?
Bob Nightingale first. Yep. Current players will be making more money this year than the entire A's roster and payroll. Scherzer with the Mets. Seager, you got that wrong. Rendon. Cole. Correa. The Heyman tweet. The A's had the highest payroll in baseball in 1991. It was $33 million that year. It's the same number today.
Oh, that is so sad.
Oh, God. And the dynasty. The Bash Brothers. They were awesome. They went for it every year. Henderson. McGuire.
I don't want to move to Las Vegas.
Stewart.
I know. They were must-watch. When baseball was king and they were that good, dominating.
Good team last year. Traded everybody.
Yeah. Got rid of almost every single.
And you're right. That is going to be a horror show. Attendance-wise number.
Oh,
you might see some 4,000.
After opening weekend, right away, man. Especially if they have some sketchy weather, which they rarely do, but if they would happen to have like a rainy day, it's like, okay, we're going to get the game, and there might be 50 people there.
Yeah.
Here's their, I'm looking at a projected lineup right now. Anthony Kemp, leadoff. Elvis Andrus, okay, nice, career-long guy now in the leagues, big leagues. Sean Murphy, number three, the catcher. Projected average, 227 at one site. Seth Brown, cleanup, 225.
It's major league.
Jed Lowry.
Who the hell are these guys?
Oh, it's
Jed Lowry.
Batting fifth.
Oh, God.
Steven Piscotty, nice ball player.
Yeah, right.
3 years ago. Eric Thames had a nice season with the Brewers like 5 years ago. Kevin Smith and others to round out. And now you're like projected starters. Frankie Montas, okay, he's fine. Into Cole Irvin, Dalton Jeffries, Paul Blackburn, and James Caporeland.
Mm. Irvin had good ROI numbers last year.
He did.
But that was...
He did.
My, oh my.
If Melvin was still the manager, I would say I want nothing to do with the bet because he's so good and he's proven me wrong many, many times before.
Yeah.
But this team is trash and that division should be much improved. Astros still the class of it, but the Mariners are much... Well, they were good last year. They've added to what they had a year ago. The Angels have some expectations, and the Rangers went out and spent like $500 million. Bad. They're bad.
Yep. Incredible response to the William Hill prop, the 0-13 pool prop with runs scored, which is very popular on the East Coast. And Gary sent this in. Dodgers at any odds is a horrible play. In 2021, every team except the Dodgers were shut out in April. The Dodgers did not get shut out until June 16th.
See, there you go.
As far as scoring exactly 13 runs, they didn't accomplish that until August. The first team to 0-13 were the Cubs. Cubs were shut out April 6th, scored 13 April 17th. Only two other teams accomplished the 0-13 in a game during the first month of the season, the A's and the Blue Jays. Opening day last year, Marlins were shut out, then scored 12 in their next game. Opening day, the Royals scored 14, then got shut out 7 days later. This is great.
It really is.
All the notes and the it is staggering how many teams were shut out last year in April. He's in Maryland, by the way, Gary. But this, when you go back and look at this and he ran the numbers, this is a great. There's no handicapping involved. It's totally random.
Oh, it really is.
But you see so many teams, like the best teams are sitting there at the 14-1 range and the bad teams are in the 40-50 range.
Well, but I mean,
for the zero, whatever they score, cross it off, and whoever crosses off 0-13 first wins the pool.
I think, based on the odds, again, and what he said, the handicap is maybe stay away from a team like the Dodgers, though, right? With that lineup.
Oh, absolutely.
And not getting shut out. Yeah. And their odds, you can bet on fixed odds here. And it's, they're right there at the very top of the list, assuming because people think they're going to get to 10, 11, 12, 13, no problem. That's fine. But getting to 0-1, that's going to be a problem.
I would have more confidence in the Pirates scoring 12 or 13. And the Dodgers getting shut out.
I would too.
And this is supposed to be one of the best lineups in history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I found a couple interesting ones. Bet Rivers has this. Who will hit the longest home run this year? Sano 9-1, Otani, Vlad, Stanton, Judge 10-1, Harper 13, Alvarez, and Perez 15-1. Longest home run of the season.
Oh, no, that's good.
That is.
Stanton maybe?
I would have to go Stanton at 10-1. Will someone hit four home runs in a game plus 550?
I saw that one. I thought about betting it. Because now, remember, in the National League, DH all year long.
Right.
So that adds now an entire league where you're going to get that extra guy batting.
And they also aren't testing for steroids. PEDs, rather. Yeah. Well, someone hit 50 home runs this year. It's $1.10. Lean no?
I would lean no.
What was the leader last year, your buddy? Or what was he, 48?
48.
Oh, he got that. Was that many?
No, both guys got the 48,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. They went crazy late. Will the team lose 100 games?
What's the yes on that?
185. That's happening.
I would say yes.
That is happening.
I want the prop. Will multiple teams lose 100 games?
Like, okay. Okay. That's good. How about this one? Who will have more wins? Walker Buehler or Rodon? Buehler's $1.40.
I noticed that one too.
What?
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I like Rodon overall. I think he's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, but
the lineup that he's going to have compared to the Dodgers lineup and Rodon.
A lot of decisions.
Rodon gets hurt.
Yes. Yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. What Buehler has to do with his lineup?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of no decisions.
I thought about betting that one too. I didn't, but about betting that one.
Where are you at with the Mariners? There's a call of against Robbie Ray too.
I saw a strikeout prop with that.
Okay. There's also a more wins too. Cole's $1.50.
Don't you think the Mariners are going to be good again this year?
Well, they also surprised a lot of. Last year was incredible what they did, winning all those games. And now brought in some nice pieces.
But there's a lot of hype. This rookie, Julio Rodriguez, he made the team. They announced that, I think it was yesterday. He's hitting bombs in spring training. I'll tell you what, that's another crowd to watch. If they're good out of the gates, wait until you see some like Friday night games or a day game in Seattle. They're going to be, that's like a college atmosphere up there.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go crazy for King Felix games, and last year they were really into it. Super loud. Fans going nuts. I think they're going to be good. The Angels, that's the team I can't figure out the Angels.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to stay away from... I bet Ohtani to win the Cy Young, but in terms of win totals or the division, I can't touch them.
Well, it could be scary. I mean, he could have a better year because he has protection. He was surrounded by bums last year.
I know.
Now that he has protection and Trout back, and if Trout can stay healthy, and you got Thor, and he made some other moves... You get Rendon. Could be a playoff team.
I'm trying to look for a longest home run from last year. I'll have it by the end of the show. I can't find it quite yet, but I will find out like the top three or four guys who did that a year ago.
Well, someone throw a perfect game. What do you think that is?
There was a huge number on the yes. Was it like 8-1?
Plus 650.
It was plus 650.
Yeah.
Perfect game. No hitter. What's the prop on no hitters? Like 3.5, 4.5?
They didn't do that this year.
Oh.
I haven't yet to find it. William Hill always put that up. But the head-to-head stuff's incredible that they have. More wins, Verlander, Ohtani. Most runs, Betts against Soto. Strikeouts, Bieber against Burns. Saves.
Oh, I might, Hader well, I, against I might Romano. Like Burns there quite a bit.
Yeah?
Okay. Bieber coming off the injury. Although Burns was like a six-inning pitcher a year ago, he did win the Cy Young, but his Ks per nine are so good, I'd probably look at Burns.
Will a pitcher win 20 or more games? $1.20, yes. That's a big ask, too.
That's also random.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
let's see what Russo thinks about that one. Okay. That's another good one.
Up next, this is going to be great. Bob Herrig is a terrific golf writer for Sports Illustrated. He also has a new book out on the Tiger and Phil rivalry. We will get into some of the Tiger props with him, but in his book, he touched on lefties' gambling debts. How bad did it get, or is it right now with Mickelson and the gambling debts? Bob Herrig joins the program coming up next.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Golf season's here. Bet Rivers Sportsbook, your home for hundreds of golf betting options. Hole in one all week long. Place pre-tournament wagers to win money towards free bets when your favorite golfer has a birdie or an eagle. Download the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app or visit BetRivers.com to take part in the biggest week of golf all year. BetRivers.com for details.
Masters week, baby. It's one of the best weeks of the entire year. And we are honored to be joined by Bob Herrig on the program now. Great golf writer at Sports Illustrated. His new book is called Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, and it sounds like such a terrific read. And Bob, thanks for the time this morning. We certainly appreciate that. But I want to go back to, you know, this is the 25th anniversary of Tiger running away with this event, and he just, dominated, took the world over at that point. Everybody was fascinated by it. And then the following year, you wrote about a practice round between Tiger and Phil in 1998 that changed their relationship. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it changed it. It might have been headed that way anyway, but it sort of epitomizes, you know, just the frostiness between the two. But at the L.A. Open that year, which was played at a different course than normal, it's usually at Riviera, but it was at Valencia, and they hooked up for a practice round, you know, early in the week, and as it turned out, as is usually the case with Phil, there was some money on the line, and Phil won. He won $500, and Tiger paid him in $100 bills, and I guess Phil wasn't satisfied enough with, you know, just the joy of winning and obviously pocketing some money. He took a picture of the five $100 bills and then wrote a note on it and said, "Dear Tiger, these Benjis are very happy in their new home, Phil." And he put it in Tiger's locker. Now, Phil never said if Tiger said anything about that to him, but you could see where that might get under his skin a little bit. And as it turned out, they never played a practice round again together for 20 years.
What's the relationship like today?
You know, it obviously softened in later years. You know, when they got older and I think gained some perspective, and clearly Tiger gained a lot of respect for Phil as time wore on, it mellowed. You know, they had that match in Vegas in 2018. There was some, you know, meeting of the minds to make that happen. They had collaborated on the 16 Ryder Cup. Tiger was very appreciative of Phil reaching out to him to help him with his chipping when Tiger was having all those woes with his back and his game around 2015. And it was surprising, actually, that Tiger told that story a couple of years later. Like, it kind of showed that it meant something to him. And that would have never happened 10 years prior. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right now, I have a feeling there, you know, while it's not as you know, it's probably not quite as difficult as it had been. I don't think it's great right now. You know, they're on either side of this rival golf league issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I got to believe that Tiger, you know, is not real happy with the way that went down with Phil. And I don't think he's probably reaching out with any olive branches over it. You know, Tiger made it clear he was on the side of the PGA Tour. And so, you know, I would guess that I don't know that the relationship is bad. I just don't know that there's a relationship at all.
How much damage has he done to his brand? Not at the Masters. DeChambeau reached out. He said he's gone dark. Mickelson isn't responding to text messages and the comments that he's made. And he lost several sponsors as well.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, I have to admit, it's way worse than I would have ever imagined. You know, look, what he said was about the tour was harsh. He referred to the tour as having obnoxious greed. He made the comments about the Saudi Arabia government, which was sort of, you know, the words that were not being spoken, but everybody knew. And yet those were the people he was sort of, he was conspiring with, if any is, I guess, the word, to come up with the rival league. He was sort of helping them come up with their business plan. So, like, he kind of attacked both sides. And, look, Phil had some things that he said about the tour that are probably true. But it was completely overshadowed by the negativity and the harshness of it. You know, the tour's been accused for years of not being transparent. Players are always wondering certain things that they don't have answers to. He's probably perfectly fine to bring that up. But when you call a place where you've basically built your legacy over 30 years obnoxiously greedy, that just kind of, you know, there's some irony there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Phil built his reputation and his career playing on the PGA Tour. It's where his brand was born and how he was able to secure millions in endorsements. It was just an odd way to go about it, especially at his age when he just won the PGA last year and should be reveling in that victory. Still, to this day,
yep.
He's reveling in that.
You're spot on. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Bob Herrig, the exceptional golf writer at SI, is our guest. His new book is called Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. How deep of a dive did you do into Phil's background with legendary sports bettor Billy Walters? And to back that up, how bad were the gambling debts, or are the gambling debts still to this day?
Yeah, the only way I referenced Walters was in relation to the public information that we know about, you know, the 2017 issues he had with, you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission and having to repay that. I explained the whole story, how he was sort of fortunate for the timing of that, because previous to that time, Phil would have been considered, he would have gotten himself in trouble as being the person receiving the tip. You know, and then there was a period where they only went after the person, to make this simple, and probably keep it simple for me too, only going after the people who gave the tip. And Phil was within that window and really kind of got fortunate, because he was referred to as a relief defendant, which meant they really weren't going after him. You know, he repaid the money with interest. But obviously, Billy Walters was furious because he went to trial and Phil elected not to, you know, he pled the fifth. It was messy, but I did not go beyond that. I went more into why that sort of thing might have happened. And I have a bunch of stories about Phil's gambling prowess on the course. And you know, look, we only hear the good stories. So with gambling, we know that there are typically the bad stories too. And so you can jump to your own conclusions. I don't know what kind of gambling debts Phil had or might have now. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people wondering, is that part of this? You know, why are you going after these multi-millions that it's now called the LIV Golf Invitational Series, you know, what they're offering? I mean, he was making a lot of money still anyway. So, like, why the need for this even, you know, obviously they're talking about huge sums. So it leads to conjecture that maybe he's got money problems. You know, I don't know for sure. But given, you know, if there's a story there where he owed Billy Walters $1 million, and you got to believe that Phil has $1 million to pay him back, it certainly makes you wonder what else is out there.
Yeah. Great point.
Absolutely.
Bob, we have like 90 seconds left in this segment. I don't know. Does that give you enough time to sum up why the 2004 Ryder Cup was such a disaster?
Well, it was a disaster because, in retrospect, it, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. But Tiger and Phil in 2004 were probably at the height of their frostiness. Phil had finally won a major. He contended in all four that year. Tiger didn't contend in any. He had a rare off year because he was changing his swing. The last thing Tiger was going to do was put his arm around Phil and help him, even though they were teammates. That's how his mind worked. And so what turned into maybe what was thought of as a good idea was a disaster. They lost both their matches, the Ryder Cup, the U.S. got killed, their worst loss ever to that point. And to this day, Hal Sutton, unfortunately, it's a lot of grief. The captain, for putting them together, his intentions were really good. And obviously, if they played better, he looks like a hero.
Yep, you're spot on. Great stuff from Bob Herrig. He is kind enough to stick around for a second segment. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Bob Herrig, Dynamite Golf Writer for Sports Illustrated. More with him coming up next. The name of the book, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Now, that's mostly the Phil side. We'll get to the Tiger side coming up next. An incredible anecdote in 2002 when Tiger lost by stroke to Rich Beem is in the book. And what Woods said after he lost, you have to stick around to hear that segment, or that sentence, I should say. And also Bob's thoughts on Tiger's props this week that you can find here at Circus Sports and other sports books. Coming up next year on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Opening day and the opening round of the Masters the same day. The first week of April will be jam-packed with betting intel from our experts. You got the breakdown of every golfer in the field, plus future bets and matchups from the long shots, crew, Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Eumanns. Sign up today, get full access to VSiN through the start of the baseball season. The Masters and the NFL Draft for only $19 at VSiN.com/draft. Another segment with Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated, golf's most fascinating rivalry, Tiger and Phil. You followed him around? It also coincides with the 25th anniversary of his first Masters win in 97, which we'll get to in a second. But do you? How does Tiger look, and do you think he's going to play?
I think he's gone through too much at this point to not play. The only reason he wouldn't now is if there's some setback. You know, maybe like the thing swells up so bad or he tweaks it or something. But, you know, I just can't believe that you come up here last week, you go home, you come up Sunday, play nine holes Monday. Good practice session before, went to the putting green after. He's supposed to meet with the media today, later this morning. Supposed to be a bad weather day today, so it sounds like he might just hit some balls. Looking at another nine holes tomorrow. As far as how he looked, his game looks good. You know, if you could just plop him down at the ball and let him hit the ball and then plop him down at the next one and on the green, I think he'd be fine, you know, but of course there's so much more to it than that. And, you know, people think, oh, what's the big deal? It's golf. It's walking. Well, that's the problem. It's walking, a lot of walking, 5 miles a day, up and down hills. You know, you watch him walk even down a hill and how sort of cautious he is, you know, very gingerly walking. And you got to believe by the end of the day, he's pretty spent. You know, the other thing people forget is it's not just the walk. It's you're standing around. The first two rounds of the Masters, the rounds are 5.5 hours. So you consider that if he gets there an hour before, hits balls, putts, goes to the first tee, there's not much sitting. You know, I mean, you know, there's a few benches out there. Maybe if there's a weight on a tee, he'd sit down, but there's not a whole lot. So you're on your feet for, you know, what, close to 7 hours?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's not just the, you know, the hitting the shots and the walking, it's standing even, you know, and so it's going to be really interesting because obviously I don't think he would have come if he felt his game was bad. Like if he was only hitting at 265 off the tee and wasn't hitting his iron solid, no chance. But I think Fred Couples said he looked phenomenal. He played with him yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, I can't believe he'd say that if he didn't feel it.
He's plus money to make the cut, and his finishing position is 57.5. What do you think about those two props?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting to me about the 57, you know, finishing, because that means basically last place. You know, so in other words, you know, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of confidence in him making the cut. And then even if he does, they don't expect him to climb the leaderboard. I have to admit, I'm a little iffy on this because just not having played in, you know, what is it, 17 months, you know, a real tournament since the 2020 Masters in November.
Right.
It's a long time to not have competed against these guys who do this all the time. So I can understand the hesitation on making the cut. But the thing is, if he makes the cut, to me, he's playing decently enough to be higher up on the leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't imagine if he makes the cut, he's going to be 50th. And so I sort of feel like if you have the confidence in him to make the cut, you should feel better about him finishing higher than at the bottom. But there's so many unknowns with this right now. You know, Tiger has never missed the cut at the Masters as a pro. And, you know, it is an easier field probably to make the cut. There's probably 20 guys who have no chance.
Right.
You know, so you've got 91 in the field. So that lessens it down to 70. And now he's really only got to beat 20 guys to make the cut. So I would probably side with him making the cut, but I also think he'll do, if he does, he's going to finish better than that.
An entire chapter is devoted to the win in 97 that changed golf and Tiger proofing the course and running away with it in 18 under, the 25th anniversary. I just, I if you can put it into words and what you get into in the book. I mean, people couldn't believe what they were watching. He dominated. The thing was over, and with the score that he put up, and it was, you knew golf was changing right then and there. He's going to dominate.
Yeah, I mean, that was the point in which we realized the Tiger that became was that week. You know, he was already immensely popular with, you know, he had won a few times. I mean, won all those U.S. Amateurs. He had all that money that was thrown at him by Nike when he turned pro. Some people questioning that. But the way he won the Masters just set the scene for the way his career was going to go. And, you know, he had a 9-shot lead going into the final round. In other words, it was a foregone conclusion he was going to win. And that final round still had one of the highest rated final rounds ever at the Masters. People were glued to it no matter what.
Man.
And as we've seen since, pretty much any time he plays, the ratings spike big time. So, yeah, that was sort of the beginning of the Tiger legend that week.
Golf's most fascinating rivalry, Tiger and Phil. Bob Herrig, our guest, Sports Illustrated. Pick up the book, Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. Can you throw in this tidbit here about, again, the rivalry and the Rich Beam story and how Tiger reacted after a loss, which I cannot believe.
You know, in researching the book, I knew some things. You know, I knew some stuff that I had heard or whatever that I went to try to confirm. That story I had never heard. I mean, it was incredible to me. Like it just sort of, somebody told it to me randomly, and then I confirmed it with Rich Beam, actually, who said to me, and Fred Funk was the one who told him. He said to me, every time I see Fred Funk, he reminds me of that, and we have a laugh about it. And basically what happened was in 2002 at Hazeltine, Tiger had a great year that year. He won the first two majors. He went to the British Open and had a chance after two rounds, and then for the first time didn't break 80. In any tour round, he shot 81 in horrible weather at Muirfield and finished way back. But he comes back to the PGA Championship, and he's in contention. But he's chasing Rich Beam, who was having a hot summer. He had won a couple times earlier. And Rich Beam's in the last group with Justin Leonard, and Tiger's in the group in front with Fred Funk. And on the back nine, Beam had a 6-shot lead. Tiger birdied the last four holes to make it interesting. So Beam's on the 18th tee. He's got a 2-shot lead, or, you know, Tiger's finished up ahead with another birdie. Knows he's just got to make a bogey to get it in to win. And he was a little shaky. It wasn't disastrous, but he did. He made a bogey. He had to make about a 2-footer on the 18th green to win by one over Tiger. And Tiger's in scoring, watching on a monitor with Fred Funk. And when he finished, you know, Beam did a little jig on the green. And obviously he's won. And Tiger stood up and he kind of did a fist pump. And Funk said to him, Tiger, what are you doing? Like, you know that he just won, right? Like, you're not tied. And he goes, yep, I know. He goes, that's Rich Beam 1, Phil Mickelson 0. And then he just walked out. And it was weird. It was a weird flex. I mean, like, yeah. It is true. At that time, Phil had not won a major. Tiger had 8. But, like, it kind of gives you the mindset of where Tiger and Phil were. I mean, Tiger clearly knew that Phil was a great player, would be a threat, was going to be, you know, difficult at times. And I think he sort of relished in the fact that he was struggling still.
Wow, what a story.
And he didn't mind keeping his rival farther away.
Yeah, no kidding. Quickly, who do you like to win this week?
I've been saying Justin Thomas, because I don't put a lot of stock in the winners the last month or 6 weeks. It's not very often that a guy wins in Florida and then wins the Masters. You know, if you go back and look, it's pretty rare. And, you know, so Scottie Scheffler's on a great run right now, and I understand why people like him. Playing well, you'd think there'd be great momentum. You know, Cam Smith had a great win at the Players' Championship, hasn't played since. You know, it's hard to win. It takes a lot out of you when you do win or when you're in contention. So I kind of like the guys who are playing decently but haven't won. And that's where Justin Thomas comes in. He just missed a playoff by a shot at the Valspar. He's kind of annoyed at himself for not having won in over a year. And yet he's been playing decently enough to maybe win. If he can get a hot putter, I like him this week.
Very good. Excellent job with the book. Good luck with it, and enjoy the tournament this week. Again, it's called Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry by Bob Herrick. Bob, thank you so much for the time today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Bob.
That was superb.
Tiger to finish one stroke, now 1-20.
Okay, and up next, Mad Dog Russo on his favorite Major League Baseball win totals.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Heat up your lineup with the FootJoy Tee-Off Challenge. Join two free fantasy golf contests to compete for your share of $10,000 in total cash prizes while the world's best golfers tee off. Head to DraftKings.com/FootJoy now to join the action. FootJoy, the number one shoe and glove in golf. DraftKings.com. For details, what an honor it was last year to be on MLB Network with this guy, in my opinion, the greatest sports talk show host of all time, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, Mad Dog Unleashed, weekdays 3-6, Sirius XM Channel 82, High Heat on MLB Network, and 5-0 last year with his win total bets, and we'll run down everything with win totals and props coming up during the next couple segments. First of all, appreciate the time. What about the new rules? Expanded roster, automatic runner start on second. Yeah, you there? Automatic.
100%. Yeah, a lot of them, you know, as you said, expanded rosters, the universal DH, man on second. I don't like the man on second. You know, I wouldn't have done that this year. I mean, it's not an awful rule. It's a little gimmicky, but, you know, a lot of these sports have gimmicks there to get these games over with. I'll live with it for another year. I'm not in love with that. I thank God the 7-8 doubleheaders are behind us. Mm-hmm. I hated that. So I'm very pleased by that. The expanded rosters make some sense because obviously they had a shortened spring training. They don't want to get a lot of these guys hurt. So, I mean, it makes the Players Association happy, and that means a lot of relief pitchers, but I do know where they're going there. You know, the Ohtani rule makes, you know, they're going to do that to Ohtani. They want to encourage him playing, not playing. So you got to live with that. The extra playoff team, you know, I would have been okay. And listen, I'm usually a purist, which, you know, likes less is more. But I understand the idea of the extra playoff team. I do think that week after the regular season will be good when you play the two best of threes with the wild card and the third divisional winner. The thing I don't like about it is the fact that there were seven teams. You've seen in the NFL. Where, you know, the teams play hard to get out of the wild card game and to get the number one seed. Green Bay played hard at the end of the year. Tennessee had to beat Houston. They played hard to get the one seed to get into that divisional round. And I think the teams will not play hard in baseball as long as they get the out of the wild card round. They're not going to push that hard for the best record. And so as a result, if there was only one of those, and you added 17, I think teams have pushed their rear ends off to get to the one seed. They won't do that as much because they don't do it in football. In the old days in football, they wanted the week, the bye week and a playoff game. They didn't go crazy for the championship game at home. They were going to live with where that game would be. Baseball, I think, will be the same way. But I do think the week after the season will be good with the best of threes. And I think that, you know, I think that the season will be, you're going to have a lot of doubleheaders there, you know, make up the three games. You have a little bad weather on the East Coast already.
Yep.
You have some of that later in the week. And you have the season end during the week, and it won't end on the weekend, which will avoid the deal with the Sunday. The problem is the wild card round will go up against NFL that second weekend in October, which I'm sure they don't love. And I also think they get hurt a little bit with the lockout because right now in sports, you're talking about Kansas and Carolina, a great game, great second half. That will be the big theme today, and then Tiger on Thursday. So I think baseball gets a little overwhelmed for their opening day. That's their own fault because, you know, they normally would have been on before the Final Four and a week before the Masters. Yeah. Now they're on the day of the Masters with Tiger. So I think baseball will get off to a bad start opening weekend as far as juice is concerned because the world's greatest athlete, you know, coming back off almost a leg amputation is about to play golf here this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. One more rule to go over. And as you mentioned, you're a purist. I think most old school baseball fans certainly are the same way, Mad Dog, where they are purists. And this sport obviously caters to an older generation, not a younger generation. So I'm guessing that you're strong on the DH in the National League, and I'm guessing you're getting an overwhelming amount of feedback saying the same exact thing. They don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like the DH. I don't like the DH, period. You know, to me, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, they use the injury status now as well. That's the reason we got to change it. You know, they don't want to get pitchers hurt. That's nonsense. You know, all these pitchers batted forever and ever and ever. Bob Gibson never got hurt, right? I mean, you know, Sandy Koufax never got hurt. Don Drysdale never got hurt. Doc Gooden never got hurt. Randy Johnson, when he pitched in the National League, didn't get hurt. Maddox never got hurt. Smoltz never got hurt. So, no, I'm not a big fan of it. I'll live with it. I knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's that surprised. You know, I think it makes for longer games. I think it takes the, you know, guessing along and second-guessing the manager in the National League that takes that out of play. Here's the bottom line about the DH. The great game is the great game no matter where you play, what league, but it's a little better in the American, in the National League without the DH. Deciding when to take a pitcher out,
yeah,
when to pitch hit, who to bring in as a reliever. Yeah. Those scenarios for the big baseball fan and playing the game along with the manager, you take that decision-making out of the process, it's not going to be quite as strategic or as enjoyable if you're one of those purist baseball fans, like you got, like yep, the three of us are.
Yep. How about the New York teams? It's like the Mets are cursed. DeGrom already hurt, going to miss time. And then the Yankees, they remind Cashman of the World Series drought. He keeps bringing up 2017. I bet the Yankees under 91.5 wins, concerned about the rotation. What are your thoughts on the Yankees and Mets, please?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, the Mets are cloud over them. All the money that Cohen has is not going to change that. You know, you're not going to see DeGrom. Now, maybe that's an advantage because, you know, with the extra playoff team, the Mets will be competitive. They get DeGrom. They hope, you know, right around June 15th, July 1st, they can save his bullets. But, you know, until the Mets do something, this is a franchise that made the playoffs six times in 36 years under the Wilpons, has not made the playoffs since 2016, always underachieves, whether it's Lindor, whether it's the pitchers, whether it's injury, Matt Harvey, you name it. So I'll believe it when I see it, so to speak. I do think Buck will help Showalter. Mm-hmm. He'll keep everything under control. He's a good manager. He'll get that clubhouse, you know, all, you know, rowing in the same direction, which is important. And they do have Cohen's money there at the deadline where he can do anything he wants. He's not going to worry about any luxury tax. He don't care. You know, nobody knew who Steve Cohen was when he making $14 billion. You know, and he was, you know, running a hedge fund or buying all that tremendous art. You know, he was a Met fan growing up, so he just wants to win. So he'll go out there and do what he has to do. So I got to see with the Mets, and they're in a tough division, you know, but, you know, I would be optimistic. I mean, they got plenty of pitching. I mean, they have an owner who's got money. I mean, you would think they'd be pretty good, but, you know, bet at your own risk. And the Yankees, listen, they have a big offense. You know, if Donaldson stays healthy, Rizzo, Judge, LeMahieu, Stanton, I mean, you know, they're going to kill some of these teams that have no pitching. Mm-hmm. You know, those bad teams, Kansas City, Texas, the Orioles, although last year the Orioles played well against the Yankees, but the Orioles, you know, they're going to, the Red Sox don't pitch well. They're going to kill these teams. But, you know, when they put their feet in the deeper end of the pool, you know, that's where it'd be a little tricky because, you know, they don't have great pitching. I got to see Severino stay healthy.
Yep.
I don't like the 3, 4, and 5 starters. You know, they've relied on their bullpen a lot, and Chapman hasn't been quite as good. I mean, they should win, you know, the 90-game territory. What is it, over under number 91.5?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. Tough division.
Yep.
Tough division. And remember, you know, I don't know if Judge and Rizzo are going to be able to play in Toronto because of the vaccine scenario, and they play 6 games in Toronto before June 15th. So that would be a little bit of a negative. But they'll be right around 90, 92. They'll probably make the playoffs. I think you can figure out who's going to get into the postseason in the American League. You got to figure, you know, the Astros will probably still make it. The White Sox will make it. And then you got Toronto, the Yankees, Tampa, and the Red Sox. And maybe throwing the Angels in Seattle and, the, you know, maybe the Twins to fight for a spot. So mm-hmm. The Yankees will make it. Will they be great? I wouldn't bet on it. The over-under, I'd stay away. Met over-under is way too high. I wouldn't go near it. But if you take the under and then the pitchers pitch well, the Mets have 2 big starters at the top of the rotation. as we know.
Yep. Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. Chris Russo, our guest, Mad Dog Unleashed, weekdays 3 to 6, Sirius XM, Channel 82, High Heat, MLB Network, weekdays 1 to 2 Eastern. A couple props before we have to break. 2 minutes left. Will a pitcher win 20 games? Yes, no.
That's a good one. Boy, oh boy, pitcher win 20 games. Last year, Arias won 20, right? I'll say somebody will win 20 games. I'll say yes to that.
Someone hit 50 home runs.
Probably. I can see, you know, somebody will crack 50. I got to think who, but I would say yes to that, too.
Will a team lose 100 games? Yes, minus 180.
Wow, really? That high? Yeah, the bad teams are a little better. Marlins a little better. Texas is better. You know, the bad teams, you know, the American League Central is a little better with the Royals. You know, the Orioles probably be a little better with the kid catcher.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say somebody would still lose 100. Diamondbacks would be improved. I'd say somebody will lose 100. I would say the Orioles, because that division is very good. And they got, you know, 18 games against those four real good teams. That's 72 games. They're liable to lose 50 of them. Mm-hmm. So I would say the Orioles will lose 100. So I would take yes to that.
How about 100 wins? Yes, minus 140.
100 wins. I would say the Dodgers. So I would. The Giants won't be quite as good. You know, no Tatis for a while. I would say yes to L.A. They won 106 last year. Won't be as good pitching, but they get Freeman, their lineup's great, and they're hungry. Roberts will win the World Series. Always have money. I'd say yes to the Dodgers winning 100.
Very cool. Okay, so hang tight. You're going to stick around for another segment talking to Chris Mad Dog Russo at Mad Dog Unleashed, obviously. That's coming up next. He's a huge Giants fan. His realistic expectations following their magical 2021 season. And then again, 5-0 on Major League Baseball win totals last year. Who does he like this season? Find out coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we continue now with Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Mad Dog Unleashed weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on SiriusXM Channel 82. High Heat Major League Baseball Network weekdays from 1 until 2 Eastern. You're a huge San Francisco Giants fan. 107 wins last year, magical season. What are your expectations for the team this year, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think the over-under number they will hit, but, you know, the Giants are going to have trouble. I mean, you know, they hit 20-something home runs last year, pinch hitting-wise. They're not doing that again. They're not having all these guys, you know, have career years that they're a platoon team, and everybody who they put in the platoon hit. That's not going to happen again. They've already had an injury with Longoria. You know, their pitching is, you know, these Scalfani and Alex Wood had great years. I mean, Logan Webb is good. I mean, Logan Webb is a legitimate number one starter. He's a very, very good pitcher. Was great in the postseason. They're okay there. But, you know, they're going to try to get by with, you know, the Rendons and the Woods and the DeScalfanis. And they're okay pitchers. They're fourth and fifth starters. And last year they pitched like two and three starters. I don't expect that again. Now, they claim that they're going to use everybody knocking them as motivation because everybody thinks their numbers are way too... I mean, 84.5, is it? Was that the over-under number?
Yeah, right around there, yep.
They won't win as many. Their division won't... What is it? I'm sorry. What is the over-under?
Yeah, we're looking at like 85.5 right now, I believe.
Yeah, 85.5. I mean, I would probably take the over there and maybe they say win 86, 87 games. But the Diamondbacks will be a little better. The Rockies will be better. They can pitch a little bit. And the Giants killed the Diamondbacks last year. They won't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Giants are going to strive. I think they're going to be 20 less wins. I don't see how they... The Giants don't have a lot of star. Plus, they lose Bryant and they lose Posey.
Yep.
I mean, and Gausman. And that's a... You know, Posey was a linchpin with that offense. Crawford was an MVP candidate. And Belly had 29 home runs. I mean, I got to see that again, so I would say the under. I think the Giants will be in the mix for the extra wild card team, but I don't think the Giants are a great team. I really don't.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. 5-0 last year. Let's have your favorite win totals, please.
Yeah, I haven't completed them yet. I only got a day and a half, so I got to hustle here. I like the Angels over 84.5. They're due for some good luck. That's number one. Mm. They've been very unlucky with injury. They're due for some. I mean, Trout played 36 games last year. Rendon played 58 games last year. So Trout, Rendon, and Ohtani, three big offensive players. They're going to score some runs. And I do believe that Syndergaard will be decent. They got a pretty good bullpen. Now, listen, you know, Seattle's pretty good. Houston's pretty good. Oakland's even going to be pesky. I know that sounds crazy. Texas will be better. And, you know, but I do think the Angels, I think the number's right around the right number, but I do think they're picked upwards to that. So I would say the Angels, to me, would be number one. I would say them over the 84.5. That is one that I specifically like. That's outside of number one. You know, I could go Milwaukee. I like the teams in the bad divisions.
Yep.
And Milwaukee's got very good pitching. You know, they got three excellent starters. They got a good bullpen, and they play the Cubs, and they play the Pirates, and they play the Reds a million times. And the Brewers, you got to figure Yelich will be better. They got McCutchen sitting there and Renfroe. They don't have a great offense. We understand that. But they do have excellent starting pitching. It's a high number. I can see Milwaukee. You know, I took them last year and won. I don't like taking a team back-to-back years. So that is something I got to think about. But I can see Milwaukee in that scenario. I think the Rockies will be better. Bryant, in story, to me, it's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good manager. And believe it or not, the Rockies have some pitching. I mean, you know, they Marquez and with the other lefty, who's pretty decent, they have some pitching. They won 74 last year. The Giants won't be quite as good. I can see the Rockies being, what are they, 68.5? I mean, I can see the Rockies being somewhat competitive in the NL West. I mean, not great, but certainly in the mid-70 level. So I could see that. You know, everybody's going to run to the Twins. I might do that too. Correa, Buxton, Sano, Urshela's a decent third baseman. Watch Sanchez hit 30 homers behind the plate. Fresh, new scenery for him.
Mm-hmm.
If change of scenery, he'll probably do better. Now, I don't like their pitching. They don't have good pitching, but they're in a bad division. You know, Detroit, the Royals, and the Indians, I mean, those are so-so at best teams. So I can see Minnesota being a relatively decent team. I'll take an under somewhere. You know, part of me thinks Tampa, they're due to, you know, come back to earth after two great years, won 100 games, got to a World Series, and they lose Cruz. You know, they just trade Meadows. I don't know about Tampa. They're going to live with that bullpen, but they're in a very good division. You know, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees are pretty good teams. They also play the Orioles a lot of games. Through August 14th, nothing beyond. And look at that Tampa September schedule. It is very difficult, and they're in the upper 80s. I can see an under on Tampa. I could definitely see that from their scenario. I took the Phillies last year. I wouldn't take them again.
Yeah.
The Mets, I never take the Mets. Braves would be pretty good. You could run there. The Marlins and the I don't want to root for the Marlins every day, so I won't touch that. I can't root for them every day.
Yeah.
I could see the Rockies. I could see the Angels. I could see under Tampa. I could see Milwaukee. And I'll find a fifth team. I'll do that in the next 48 hours.
Okay.
But I do think that, maybe the Twins. I could see Detroit, too. He's a good manager. They won 68 and 61 their last 129 games last year. They have a little pitching. I like the teams that can pitch a little bit. They're not out of these games, you know, in the fifth inning in August. They stay in the game because they had some pitchers. Detroit's pitching isn't terrible. I could see, and they're in a bad division. So I can see something. But their number is a little high, 76.5. I could see something with Detroit. I'll find five. I won't go 5-0 again.
Yeah,
that's dangerous too. You know, I was so good last year.
Right.
You know, I got a lot of breaks with Kansas City. They won a couple games late in the year. I got them. Philadelphia easily could have not got to the 80.5. They won 82. Those things seem to balance themselves off year to year. But I'll find five. The Angels, definitely. I'm going to take a run at the Angels.
Okay,
you got it. Listen to his podcast, by the way, Digging Up the Past. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, our guest, Sirius XM Channel 82. You're a good tennis player. I always thought you could tell how good a tennis player was by his second serve. How's your second serve?
I agree with that. I think second serves are very, very important. I don't have a great second serve, but I don't have a great serve to begin with. So I take something off the first serve to get it in, especially in doubles. But that's a good tennis fan. Second serve, very, very significant. You got to have a decent one if you're going to be, especially in doubles, because the second serve in doubles kills you. But yes, I understand where you're coming from. My second serve is a little weak, which hurts me in tennis. But I'm 62 years of age, and I can still run around that course, especially on clay.
Yeah.
And, clay? Nice.
On the hard true.
Okay.
Running on the cement outdoors in the summertime is too hard for me.
Yeah. How's the golf swing, and how excited are you for Tiger possibly playing at the Masters starting on Thursday?
Yeah, I think he's going to play.
I think so,
too. I'm going to have Freddie Couples on today. I think he's going to play. So I think that, you know, I wouldn't put anything past him. It's hard to believe he'd win. But, you know, he knows the course well. He'll probably be in the mix. I would think that a big victory for him would be making a cut.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would play. And my golf swing, I played the other day, and I played relatively well. So I was surprised in 43-degree weather. I was actually a little surprised. I made good contact. So I'm working on playing a draw instead of playing a fade. So that, you know, a swing change at this age of my isn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, those two sports, tennis and golf, will be the demise of me, because I always have. You know, when you're an intellectual sports fan, and then, you know, sports, sometimes you just got to go out there and be instinctive. I think about it too much, which makes it worse.
Yep. Now, 1 minute. What's your favorite airport?
Airport. Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you an airport that's very good, that's underrated, is Tampa.
Ooh.
You know, everybody knows about Orlando. Tampa was the first of those kind of modern airports where they had the shuttle trains take you to the gate. It's not impossible to get in and around it. It's not too far from downtown. Remember, I had a kid who went to the University of Tampa, so I flew into it a lot back and forth. Tampa is a much better airport. You can go to the West Coast nonstop. Tampa's a better airport, and you can fly to Europe nonstop. Mm. Tampa's a better airport than you think. It really is.
It's no LaGuardia or JFK, from what I'm told.
You know, LaGuardia will get better, but you know, it was a third world country for a long time.
Mad Dog, you're the best. Thanks so much for the time today. Good luck with the win totals.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Good to be on. Keep it up. Okay, buddy.
Mad Dog Unleashed, 3 to 6 Eastern. Win, lose. Coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back, having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz, and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.